name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, God gives us the Holy Spirit, who works in us both the desire to throw off the slavery of sin and the power to live a new life. May the Lord renew us in body, mind, and spirit. We pray. Father of mercies and God of all comfort, you are our strength every morning, our salvation in times of distress. With contrite hearts and troubled spirits, we come to you for healing and help. Create in us pure hearts and wash away all our sins in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and refresh us with your Holy Spirit, that we may declare your praise and teach your saving ways. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson for the day is Psalm 8. Psalm 8 is a prophecy of the Lord sending his Holy Spirit to his people, the Lord's mercy on us sinful human beings, and of course it is also a prophecy of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who would come into the world to suffer for our sins, save us, and then retake the glory that is his. That's all found in these few verses, Psalm 8. For the choir director, according to the Giddith, a psalm by David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Set this glory of yours above the heavens. From the lips of little children and nursing babies, you have established strength because of your foes, to put a stop to the enemy and the avenger. Whenever I look up at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you remember him, the son of man that you pay attention to him? Nevertheless, you make him suffer need, apart from God for a while, but you crown him with glory and honor. You make him the ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and cattle, and even the wild animals, the birds of the sky and the fish of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of God. Our gospel lesson for this seventh Sunday of Easter is found in John chapter 17. It is the first portion of Jesus' high priestly prayer that he prayed on the night he was betrayed. He prayed this with the 11 in the upper room. And in this portion of the great high priestly prayer, Jesus prays for himself and for his disciples. After Jesus had spoken these things, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, so that your Son may glorify you. For you gave him authority over all flesh, so that he may give eternal life to all those you have given him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I have glorified you on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me at your own side with the glory I had at your side before the world existed. I revealed your name to the men you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have held on to your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they received them. They learned the truth that I came from you. They believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. All that is mine is yours, and what is yours is mine. And I am glorified in them. I am no longer going to be in the world, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation today comes from selected verses in the final two chapters of 1 Peter. Dear friends, do not be surprised by the fiery trial that is happening among you to test you, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, rejoice whenever you are sharing in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted in connection with the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or as a meddler. But if you suffer for being a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God in connection with his name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. Now, if it begins with us, what will be the end for those who disobey the gospel of God? Therefore, humble yourselves under God's powerful hand, so that he may lift you up at the appointed time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Have sound judgment. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him by being firm in the faith. You know that the same kinds of sufferings are being laid on your brotherhood all over the world. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you. To him be the glory and the power, forever and ever. Amen. Here ends our text. In the name of Christ Jesus, my dear Christian friends, I have to admit, I have sort of a love-hate relationship with working out. On the one hand, I love the feeling afterwards. I love the endorphin rush, the feeling of stress relief, the feeling of personal improvement. It's all great. But on the other hand, you have to work to get to that point. You have to go through a little bit of struggle, and it's not always the most fun trying to get yourself motivated to that point. As we've heard many times throughout our lives, our bodies that we maintain share a couple commonalities with our faiths as well. As we look throughout God's Word, we see that we are encouraged to have a living and active faith. So exercise your faith as well. Only this time, don't look to yourself. Don't look inside of you for your motivation to exercise your faith. Look to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for your strength and your endurance. In these closing chapters of Peter's first letter, We see him further address a point that has already been touched on a couple times in the earlier chapters, Christian suffering. Now, the Christians at the time of Peter's writing, if they were Roman citizens, were under the rule of Emperor Nero, which, if anybody knows anything about Nero, it's that his persecution was pretty brutal. Although his persecution specifically against Christians might not have been the most systematic or the worst of the worst, it still leaves behind stories that make a lot of people grimace, even to this day. Persecution was on the hearts and minds of many Christians back then. Not necessarily the most optimal condition to exercise one's own faith. And it's to that end that Peter offers some not so encouraging sounding words of encouragement to these Christians suffering this persecution. Think of all the people who want the easy answer in life, who want things to be simple. Well, unfortunately for them, for all of us, this answer isn't easy or simple. When the question is, what can we do? Why are Christians suffering? Is there anything we can do to stop it or to ease the pain? Peter's answer is no. Stop acting so surprised. His advice is to actually stop focusing on the terrible here and now and look to the glory of Christ. If you are insulted, hurt in some way, mistreated for your identity as a Christian, what an excellent reminder for you today that you are, in fact, a Christian. Someone with the promise of something infinitely greater waiting in the wings, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. And don't think that justice will not be carried out in the end. Oh, how evident that distinction will be between the faithful and the unfaithful on Judgment Day. When we faithful believers are brought to our Lord to be judged and found to be perfect, found to be justified through our Lord and Savior. Now, if it begins with us, what will be the end for those who disobey the gospel of God? All those who mocked the Lord, all those who hurt his people, will come to a very grim realization all too late. Justice will come eventually. And we know how it will all end. But that doesn't mean that the things of this life are pointless. We know that our victory is secured in our Savior. What does that mean for all the sufferings that we have in this life? Well, Peter uses the word trials and tests. Now, let's not think of those like tests where we are commonly used to, where you prove your aptitude to reach a certain level, or you're proving your worth, the ability to reach a certain privilege, to reach a certain title. This is not. The sufferings of this life are not an aptitude test to see if you are eligible to get into heaven. That is something that Christ has already passed for you with flying colors, I might add. The tests of this life are for you to strengthen your faith, most importantly, to always keep bringing you back to Christ. And that's how we should think of these tests. If you are insulted, if you feel like being a Christian isn't worth it because of the way others treat you, that's a great time to take a step back, to look at the whole situation and say, hey, yeah, I am a dear, forgiven child of God. If you had forgotten that at some point in your day and now remember it because of this test, that is something the Holy Spirit has used for a great benefit to you. We are, as Christians, can't lose. But be careful not to get too complacent in your victory. Just because Christ has passed the test for us does not mean that we can relax completely. It doesn't mean that we can stop pushing ourselves, stop trying to better our faiths here in this world. Christians live differently. We may go against the grain sometimes. We may do the right thing, even though the rest of the world is in complete agreement that the wrong thing is better, easier, it's okay now. We're going to stand out. And that might cause some problems. But our Lord tells us that we will suffer for being Christians. It's interesting. how the Lord has turned our suffering. It's not like we all of a sudden had faith and started suffering. We were suffering before, too. Before we were washed in those cleansing waters of holy baptism, we were suffering in sin as well. We were suffering the consequences of a sinful world. We were familiar with the pain and the negative emotion and everything and the consequences that come with every sinful action. But after that, we had nothing but an eternity of more punishment, more suffering to look forward to. That's all we could ever earn. God has set the bar at perfection and not a single bit less. But when Christ died for us, he made it so that we are now suffering for a different cause. We're no longer suffering for sin. We are to suffer as Christians, temporarily here on this earth. That's the big deal about it all. We no longer have to worry about suffering in the end. We get to look forward to rest, reprieve from the suffering. Now, out of thanks in our hearts, that is when we turn to our Lord. We exercise our faith in the way that we live to show our light to others. We live lives that honor God. When it comes to good physical fitness tips, one of the ones you'll hear is to never give up. Likewise with this, do not give up. Do not think that retreating back to the sinful ways of the world will actually make things better. In fact, it will actually make it worse. Don't give up. You're going to need a very strong source of strength in order to keep pushing through, to keep exercising your faith in this life. As we strive to live differently, that's why it's an excellent reason to look to Christ as our only source of strength. We don't look within ourselves. We don't look to the latest and greatest self-help book. We don't look to the advice of our friends. We look to Jesus. He promises always to be with us. He promises to rescue us. So rejoice whenever you are sharing in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. He promises that our sufferings serve an excellent purpose. Our sufferings turn us back to Christ, turn us back to that need that we have in him. If you are feeling like you are not strong enough to stand out in the world, that you're not strong enough to live a life that honors God, look to your Savior. Look to your Savior and see that you already have complete holiness in the eyes of God. No matter how well you fight this fight, no matter how hard you are able to push on certain days, the Lord still loves you. The Lord still forgives you. That is our source of strength. And we can do that every day. Look to Christ for our source of strength in what the Lord calls our momentary troubles. The only problem on our end of this is momentary seems like a long time. Momentary is whenever we are on this sinful plane of existence. And Peter has some advice for that as well. Although it seems a bit contradictory. If you boil it down, it sounds like it, relax, but stay on your guard. But those two bits of information that we heard in the second half of this text show us an excellent way to live our life as Christians and to endure. First, cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. If you have any sin, any anxieties, any cares, any worries, any fears, first and foremost, take those to your Lord in prayer. Understand that he will hear you, he will listen to you, and he will forgive you. And it's with that new focus in mind, that burden lifted off and the joy that is in your heart, that we stand our guard. Because the enemy is still out there. Soon, we'll have a new batch of sins and anxieties to bring before the Lord. But he is always there for us. His promise is that he will be there for us forever. We can keep taking our cares before the Lord and looking to stand our guard against the assaults of the enemy. It's pretty important to have endurance when you're standing on guard. Like a soldier who is guarding his base, in the dark hours of the morning, we see that it's hard to endure. It's hard to stay awake. It's hard to stay focused. Ever since we've been baptized, ever since the Lord has given us that faith in our hearts, it is our shift. It's our turn to take watch. We must stand guard. The enemy is out there. They are seeking to take us over. The devil's ultimate goal, to win us, to take us away from our Lord, to get us to turn from that faith that is in our hearts. And the devil spares no expense. He uses all the latest and greatest technologies, the tools at his disposal, and we need to be on guard. But we have a weapon that has never changed. The weapon that was just as effective for the Christians back in Peter's day is the weapon that is just as effective for us today. Use the word that is at your fingertips, because our Lord assures us that we can resist the devil. Resist him with the word. Stay grounded in your scriptures. Resist him with prayer. Come to your Lord regularly and cast your cares on him. Resist him by reminding yourself every day that you are a dearly beloved child of God through the waters of baptism. There are so many ways that we can resist him. And it's hard work. It takes dedication. And here's the problem. Your dedication, your own motivation, your own feelings and self-discipline aren't good enough. We need another source yet again. We looked to Jesus for our strength. It's only fair that we could look to him for our endurance as well. We look to our Savior, who has won the battle for us. If we feel like we can't endure a lifetime of suffering as Christians, look to our Savior, who assures us that there is something better waiting in the end, that we are forgiven. There's plenty of ways we can see Christ leading the charge. First, look to the Word. Read your scriptures and see that Christ is the one who has won for us forgiveness. And because of that, God will himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you to the very end. Peter also gives us a little bit of extra advice here too. We can also look to Christ and our fellow believers. If you look to your brothers and sisters who are dealing with sufferings and persecution and difficulties in their life because of their identity as Christians, and they're dealing with it well, observe that. Look at how they involve their Lord in their sufferings, because you can do that too. It's only a quick prayer away. And the added benefit of having a unified body of believers, we can use each other as support. We Christians all have our own individual crosses to bear, but we carry them together. Together as one force, as one church, we all bear the sufferings of Christ, joyfully knowing what he has waiting for us. So if you're tired, feeling tired from the claws of this lion, the devil being at your throat every day, know that Christ has put him in his place. His power over you, the guilt that he hangs over your head, is gone. It's done. There is no more power. No matter how well or not well you fight on a day-to-day basis, no matter how well or not well you're able to exert yourself in your faith, to exercise your faith, Christ has won for you that same forgiveness. So we can keep pushing toward the ultimate goal until we reach that gracious, glorious kingdom of heaven that God has so eagerly waiting for us. This all takes focus. It takes dedication. Pushing towards a goal, whether in the body or in the faith, is going to be a process that comes with good days and with bad days. You will experience difficulties as a Christian. We cannot and should not ever sugarcoat that fact. But I pray that the Lord still give you strength and endurance to live lives that honor him, to let his light shine before those who might not know his name, so until we are all gathered to be with him in heaven. May the Lord Jesus give us strength and endurance every day. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Dear risen and ascended Lord, all glory, all honor, and all praise belongs to you forever and ever. Amen. Have mercy on us, Lord. For whereas you are ruling on high in perfection and glory, we, your dear, redeemed, and chosen people, remain in this world of trouble and pain and sorrow and confusion. We can't tell the right from the wrong, and we fall into sin and offense daily. Have mercy on us. Calm our troubled hearts. Give us of your Spirit, that we may be sure in the faith, confident in the resurrection, and full of boldness to proclaim your saving name. Come, Lord Jesus, help and save us. Lord, we ask you today to bless our graduates. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, that they do not think that they have graduated from your word, but rather now have the freedom and responsibility to study on their own and with your church. Give them wisdom and success as they travel through life, but most of all, give them strength to endure life's walk with their faith intact. And bless us, Lord, as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen.